Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, burn of glory, hallelujah.
us, Lord. Revive us.
I'm going to do it again, hallelujah.
Thy glory.
Hallelujah.
Revive us again. You born again for us, Lord.
Again.
And we thank you, Lord.
Lift your hands, everybody. We see you.
Jesus Christ, and I've been called by the will of God and not by the will of man. So happy to have each and every one of you all. We want to have a word of prayer, and we're going to get into the lesson. Let me begin by saying that we're going to be praying for Pastor Bill. She'll be listening in. Don't know no circumstances. I just know that's what she said. And so we're definitely going to be praying for her. We're going to be praying for the lady down in Sister Claudette in New Orleans. She texted me and told me her friend or somebody has had a real bad heart attack. And so we're going to be praying for her. Those other people that are down there in New Orleans, she's in Alabama. The lady's in Alabama, so we want to be praying for her. These are people have been asked to be on the, that we pray for them. And all of those that have asked for prayer, we're going to be praying for them as well. So Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. We come because your word says, in everything, give thanks. Hallelujah. So I come to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can enter into communion and agree with one another based on the word of God. I thank you, Father God, that we have your blood. We have, Father God, your body that have provided this way for us. I bind up every stronghold in our lives, everything that's keeping us from being all that we should be for you. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood right now. Also, Father God, I pray right now that you build a hedge of protection around them and around us as well. According to your word, Father God, you are our shield. According to 2 Samuel 22:3, you are our shield, Father God. You are our horn. You are our salvation. You are our stronghold. You are our refuge. Father God, I thank you that we got a place to hide in you. I thank you, Father God, for you shielding us. You are a shield above me. And your glory, Father God, is above our heads. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Father God, that we're united with you. And we're believing the things that you are believing in. Father God, as we pray for the victims of 911, we ask you to remember those emergency, medical, firemen, law enforcement, all those people who have lost their lives 20 years ago. And yes, Father God, it's been 20 years in man's eyes. So, Father God, those that are planning on celebrating, I pray for traveling mercy. Also, Father God, pray for traveling mercy for Pastor Bill. We pray, Father God, that you continue to equip her, continue to build her up in your word. Thank you, Father God, for providing for her the spirit that caused her to walk in wisdom. I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. Thank you, Father God, for those that are struggling and going through it at the moment. Thank you for those that are bereaved, that they'll get something out of their hour of bereavement, and more especially that of our own evangelist Sharon. We pray that you keep a covering over her, Father God. Let your angels of protection be over her. I pray, Father God, open the gates. Open the floodgates, Father God, of your salvation. And allow us all to enter with thanksgiving. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to just bless her going in and bless her coming out. I thank you, Father God, that you're her provision. You are her deliverer. I thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against her shall prosper. I thank you, Father God, that as long as we use your name, you will continue to bless us and be all that we can ask for. I affirm, Father God, that you are that the battle is not ours, but it's yours, and you've already won. I decree it and declare, Father God, that you're preserving us for a special time such as this. I thank you, Father God, and I declare that you have the victory. We have the victory according to 1 Corinthians 15:57. I declare, Father God, that your anointing will continue to flow through this broadcast. And those that will hook up, Father God, will begin to share the anointing. I declare, Father God, as you've given us divine healing and divine life, according to Matthew 8:2. Father God, I expect your mercy to follow us. I expect your grace to be on our side. And I thank you, Father God, that it's going to be on the people down in New Orleans and also Sister Claudette, who's down in Alabama, dealing with her friend. I pray, Father God, that you just whatever going on that need to happen, Father God, make it happen in Jesus' name, because we are your children. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. Take care of her, Father God. And there are other listeners, Father God, the sister in California. Pray for her, Father God. We just pray for all those that are listeners and online and not online, and especially those that are listening by internet. Father God, we just send a special anointing that you anoint their head, Father God. You anoint their steps that they're moving in. And I thank you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, brothers and sisters, I thank each and every one of you all. Yesterday, we left off talking about, and there again, brothers and sisters, understand, we're talking about these vital facts. And I don't know why this continues to stay in my mind by what Evangelist Sharon said, but it's so true. Brothers and sisters, it's vital that you have oxygen if you're going to live. That's vital. And without it, you're going to die. So is the word of God. So are these facts that we've been giving out. It's vital that you become a new creation. It's just like not having oxygen. So when I say different things, realize it's just like you not having oxygen. It is very important that we recognize this fact. Let me tell you, when I say facts, I'm talking about something that's actually occurring or actually occurring right now. These are facts that I'm talking about, something you need, something that has actual existence. I'm not just trying to tell you a bunch of words. I want you to understand that this piece of information that you're getting about these vital scriptures. But since you got to act on this stuff, this is a piece of information that's going to continue to allow you to be spiritual. And without it, you'll die. See, because without him, you will die. I mean, it can't be any more plainer than what he said over there in John 15. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Come on now. It don't get no plainer than that. It doesn't get any plainer than that. That's where God wants us at. God wants us to be as much part as he is, as Jesus was part of the Father. So this is part of the redemptive work. So when I think about Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, it's a part of this great redemptive work. It's both legal and vital. He reveals what he did for us. He revealed his process of building the very nature of life in us, because it's that vital. The Father into our spirit. When I think about that, boy, I just get carried away. He said, I want you to know what is the exceedingly and greatness of his ability in on our behalf in our life. Read that. According to the working of his mighty powers, which he wrought in Christ, which he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities. It can't get close. And powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. It's vital, brothers and sisters, that we be in Christ. Look at it like this. A lot of folks don't realize what it means to be in Christ. But in Christ, you're in heavenly places. Yeah, when you're in Christ, I know you want to see it through the natural. You won't see it that way. But when you're in Christ, Ephesians 1 and 3, it's an awesome lesson there. And also Ephesians, and I'll probably give you a lot of scripture which is in Christ, because that's where you want to be at. And in all wisdom, listen, brothers and sisters, when you are in Christ, you are one with the Father. You are one with the Holy Spirit. You are one in God's knowledge. You are in the knowledge of him, according to verse 17. And in the saints. We're not to be in the world, and we're not to be of the world. We're to be in Christ. These are vital facts. Another facts are vital that when you read we'll go to Colossians 2 and 15. It said, and this is a fact. You got to know the devil been defeated. He says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an open show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. Jesus embarrassed Satan. He embarrassed death. Everything that ever been put against you, every claim, Jesus took it away. Every failure that ever been brought in your path, Jesus had taken it away. So don't be thinking about these failures. Be thinking about what he's doing. I continue to tell people don't worry about your faults. Worry about your faith. See, your faith will get you over the faults. Did you hear that? Stop recognizing the faults and recognizing the faith, which happens to be your blessed fact. That it's in this substitutionary work of Christ. It was as though we ourselves were with him. He not only was crucified, but in Romans 6 and 8, it says, now if we be dead with him, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's now. See, where Satan get folks twisted, he want them to think it's later on when you die. No, that's now. You're already dead. Not only were we crucified with him, but we died with him. And if we died with him, we rose with him. Well, you know, Pastor, I don't know if I kind of believe that. That's fine, brother and sister. I don't have a problem with you not believing it. But that doesn't change the fact that it's a fact. It's the truth. And you need this to exist in your eternal journey. Not only were we crucified, you got to know that. That's what he's saying. But you actually died. Because after you got crucified, you didn't live. No, you died. Then your spirit man came back alive. So when we read Colossians 2 and 12, I may be going kind of fast, but I want y'all to get this. In Colossians 2 and 12, he says, we were buried with him. Can I say that one more time? We were buried with him, meaning past tense. When did it happen? When you gave up your old spiritual life or your old carnal life or your old state life, you became a new creature, brothers and sisters. So in 1 Timothy 3:15, we were justified with him. You know what that means? That means you're made right. Woo! You're made right. I don't care what the enemy say. And I hate to tell you this, it don't even matter what you say. It doesn't change the word, brothers and sisters. If you've been crucified with him and you've been risen with him, the Bible says that you have been made alive with him. Why? How did that happen? Because you was made right. So when you read 1 Timothy 3:15, we were justified. That means you've been made right with him. So in Colossians 2 and 13, you're going to get this. Said we were made alive with him, and you have he quickened it together with him. He made your spirit man alive with him. That's now. That's now. Because that's when your faith operates. Your faith has to operate now. See, we've been taught to believe everything is after a while. But what about now? What about the glory of God on your life now? It may not help me next year. I need it now. I need to know that I'm in a safe place with Christ now. Well, the way you know that is by staying in him. You have he quickened it. You have he made alive. I keep telling people, boy, that is probably one of the greatest miracles that you'll ever experience. Is to know that you know that you know your spirit came alive. It died. Your spirit, man, actually died and came alive. And then you get a hold to a scripture like Ephesians 2 and 6. He raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places, brothers and sisters. These scriptures are real. So in these scriptures, we get a living picture of the entire substitutionary work of Christ, in which we have a perfect identification and we can truly identify with him. I like to think it's a DD. Well, what's a DD? It's a done deal. You in Christ, it's a done deal. It is legal. The background of our redemption. You know, the other day, I did a background check, and that brought me to something, got me into thinking about something. Do you realize you will be given a background check? It's going to be determined if you're in Christ or not. And when that background check is completed, it's going to say approved. Yeah. So you can say, yes, I was crucified with him. That's what the background check going to show. I was identified with him in shame and in deep anger when he was on the cross. More than that, God not only put my sin upon him and made him sin with my sin, but he put me upon him. That's the part I like. I can enjoy his righteousness. You can enjoy his righteousness now. Satan don't want you to have that because he can't have that. You understand that, don't you? Satan can't have that righteousness. So it was put, so he put my sin, my curses, everything I was supposed to be for the cause. I mean, even the thorns that he put upon his brow, they put it on his head. When I think about it was my sin that drove the nails into his hand and to his feet. It was love that was taking my place, suffering in my stead, that I may be a ransom, if that's the right word, out of the authority of darkness and the power of sin, of spiritual death. And that's what it really was, brothers and sisters. We were spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead. So you could say, you know what? I died with him. That when he died on the cross, he partook of my spiritual death. And I was identified with him in his spiritual death. It was as though I had been there in person, and we had left his body together. Well, I tell you, when you could start having a visual like that, began to see it like that, began to see that you are a new creation in reality. Put your faith there. So when he died on the cross, he and I went to the place where I should have gone alone. I should have went there by myself. But he went there with me and brought me back. He went with me as many substitution. He was with me, no suffering. I had to do none of that. He did it. And because he is Christ, let me say this. My spiritual death, union, that I had union with Satan, was wiped out. Then was I justified in the spirit. His justification was for me, for you. I hope you can see this. It was for you too. He was there for me. He didn't go there on his own account. He went on my account. And as soon as he was justified, he was recreated. The Bible says he was made alive in the spirit. That wonderful scripture over there in Acts 13:33, I think that's what it said. God said, "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee," was made real. Right there, brothers and sisters, right there, those awful. So now I want y'all to hear this. Please hear this. God's word is true, brothers and sisters. He had became born again. He had become the very righteousness of God right then. Because he took off all the sin. And that's how we began to be identified with Christ. Remember what he said, and now you can understand Ephesians 2 and 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, meaning the spirit. That's what happened. So, you know, folks don't want to hear this truth, but I want you to know what the real truth is, brothers and sisters. And these are vital facts that any theologian, any scholar, have to consider. Because we understand Colossians 1 and 28 and 29 that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's how he does that. I keep telling people these are not misprints. He said, whereof I do labor and strive according to his working, which worketh he in me mightily. Is Christ in you? Is Christ in her? Is Christ in me? See, now you can see the background of the vital union with Christ. We can understand that it means to have him say, for it is God which worketh in you both to do his will and to do his good pleasure. Woo, man, that's God working in us. Because you have no clue what the glory of God is going to look like once we get past this. See, we can enjoy this glory right now. Paul was dreaming in Christ was to present every believer perfect. And when I read that, I said, wow, this is Paul's dream? Yeah, his dream was to present every believer perfect in Christ, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I said, Lord, how you going to do that? He said, I did it in Christ. That's the only way it can be done, brothers and sisters. Don't be trying to work this thing out. You can't work it out. You can't work it out. All you can do is get in Christ and allow this inner man to become a new creation. He was received his nature, life of God. You know, I read something the other day too, and I know I'm on the clock, but I'm going to tell you, God wants us to share in everything. See, that's what woke me up. God said, yeah, I want you to share, but you ain't got to do it. I'm going to do it, but I want you to share in it. So when we read Galatians 2 and 20, we get one of the richest view of Christian ministry for us. So when I tell you that we've been crucified with Christ, and he said, nevertheless, yet not I live, but Christ live in me, then he wants us to be, he wants to identify with him. And then I think about the Father. Whew, hallelujah. The Father is reproducing himself in us. I shared a little bit yesterday, so I'm going to go ahead and finish my thought on yesterday, because I was sharing with you all, like a mother, she wants her daughter, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but the mother wants her daughter to be better than she. So if she was a hairdresser, she wants her daughter to own her own salon. You know, if she was a ministrator, she wants her daughter to be the chief administrator. If she plait hair, she wants her daughter to do it better. I mean, how many mothers out here? I mean, be honest with yourself. You find yourself teaching and your children, and just especially the girls, because there are certain things you want her to know, certain things you want her to do. How many mothers out here pull her daughter to the side and say, hey, babe, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. You're teaching them because you want them not only to be like you, you want them to be better. I won't get into some of the deep things, but come on, brothers and sisters. That's what God's doing. That's all he's doing. I mean, this should be your desire to reproduce yourself in that person. Come on, you men, help me out. You know you as fathers. You want your son to be a better football player, baseball player, whatever you did in life, a better bowler. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to talk about Pastor bowling her 260-something when her daughter bowled 300 on several occasions. I'm not going there. But I guarantee you put a smile on her face. Yeah. I know I bowled a couple 300 myself. I know the feeling. And I would love to have been able to teach my son to do that. Listen, brothers and sisters, that's all it is. You want to be part of that reproduction or reproducing. And that's what God's doing here. The very genuine Christianity is the ability of God to build himself into us through the word, through his word, so that in our daily walk we live like the master. Woo, that's just We can live like the master. Why wasn't they telling me that stuff early? Everybody was telling me I couldn't be like Christ. And then I read over there in Ephesians 5 and 1 and 2. I'm getting ready to go. But I read over there in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us. We're to mimic. That word follow there means to mimic. Mimic the Father in every which way. Because he called us his children. We're to walk in this kind of love. I know this is going to bother some of y'all, but somebody got to walk in love, brother and sister. Somebody got to start showing the world who Christ is. You don't have to love the world, but you can show the world that there is a Christ. Let them see it through you. Let the world see Christ through you. Because Christ said it. He said, be an imitator. He said to be a follower. He says to mimic. I mean, people mimic stuff all the time. I'm leaving. But why you think people, they used to mimic, they mimic folks right now. I remember when they used to mimic Michael Jackson. Everybody had on one glove. I never forget that. But I didn't know that was mimicking. But that's what it is. It's mimicking. It's following. Hey, brother says, you want to follow Christ. Mimic the right thing. You don't want to follow church folk. They don't know where they're going. The blind can't lead the blind. You need to follow Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit. These are vital facts. This is what's going to cause you to get to the next level. Hey, thank you all so much for tuning in and listening. I appreciate you. May God continue to bless you, and we're going to continue to pray for those